As I told you so many times, the Feast of Pentecost was an invasion. It was a war that lasted one day, 1 hour, if you will, with the human race. And the human race lost. And the human race doesn't know it. And so Revelation 17 predicts the end of it, and Revelation 18 is the end. It's the end of the world of cause and effect, because that's the strength of what's called Babylon. If I do this, this will happen. If I don't do this, this won't happen. If I do this, I'll be rewarded with that. Cause and effect, reward, punishment, are all, that's the tool of Babylon. That's the false religion. It's the dire, dire enemy of grace. So will you understand that a little bit? Now your mind will hate this. Your mind hates. Your mind likes order, cause and effect, because it can keep things in control then. If I do this, then I know this will happen. Well, it just doesn't work that way. And then if I do that, then this will happen, and it will cover up that. Well, it doesn't work that way either. You spent a lifetime acting like it was supposed to happen that way. Nothing ever happened that way, but you made believe it did. Does anybody understand me? Mm-hmm. You pretended a lot. Oh, I'm so happy with this new friend, this new girlfriend, with this new boyfriend. No, you weren't. Oh, I'm so happy I got married to Mike.
That would be funny.
Huh?
That's pretty funny.
Oh. Okay, now it's, oh, if only I weren't married to Mike, then everything would be all right. If I only didn't have Mike, then everything would be all right.
Yeah, from one side of the spectrum to
the other. Yeah. Oh, do you realize how many times Rex has said this? No,
really, we haven't got time for that. All right. This week?
Rex, this is your life.
All right, I got it. I got a plan. How many plans are you having? What do you say?
Do you think it'll work? I'll join you.
I'll tell you what. If you find a plan that'll work, I will close this book and I will join you because I hate the stuff that's in that book.
Just like
I hate it. I've been trying to find a loophole for 22 years. There isn't any. 23 years. Good.
One man flying extremely low on the cover of night.
Huh? Well, you better try, because I've been looking. There aren't any. Revelation 18. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. It says the earth, it's better translated, the earth was radiant with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, has become the habitation of demons and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk, and the word nations there is people, all people have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Now can you imagine what else on the face of the earth could have deceived every person that has ever lived, other than cause and effect? Remember when we read in the fast of one of the fasts that we're coming rapidly upon, that we study this particular book of Bel and the Dragon, and Bel is the chief god of Babylon. And Bel is a particular, unique idol in that it's 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide of solid gold. Some versions say solid gold, others say it was brass overlaid with gold. 60 cubits high, a royal cubit is 25 inches, the ancient cubits were 18, so either way, it's high, 6 cubits wide. And it wouldn't stand up. There's no There's no way that something of that shape and height could stand. It would fall over. And the Talmud says the only way they could make it stand was when the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, came and stole all of the gold and the artifacts out of the temple. And they made a base for Bel out of the gold and artifacts from the temple in Jerusalem. So think of this spiritually. Think of this idea as a parable. That this god, Bel, which is the one you have worshipped your entire life, all of your mind talk is based on the worship of Bel. If I do this, then that will happen. Much of your mind talk is always getting even. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
I did this, so this should have happened.
Right, and getting even is that son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. Oh,
excuse me. Much of Harry's mind talk is getting even with me.
At least this time he did it while you were here.
Huh?
He told him once before to stop cussing you while you weren't here.
Yeah. But my point is, all of our mind talk is worship. And it's all worship of Bel, this god that's 60 cubits high, 6 cubits wide, and it's got all this stuff from the temple that's holding it up. Well, all you have to do by understanding is put the stuff back in its proper place in the temple, and the idol will fall down. And then you automatically wake up one morning and say, my God, I believed in cause and effect all this time, that stupid idol, how could I have done it? But for some of you right now, tonight, you cannot conceive of a place where cause and effect isn't the rule. Now, the Feast of Pentecost is the celebration on a practical level of the falling down of the idol Bel so that you can begin to live by grace and not by cause and effect. Does that sound attractive to any of you? Grace means unmerited favor. That you're getting it, what you receive is freely without any effort on your part. It's a gift. And it's God's good pleasure to give you all things freely without any effort on your part. It's His good pleasure to have you have every desire of your heart satisfied with absolutely no effort and no thought about it. Now this is core stuff. This doesn't have anything to do with theory. This is the core of your being. The promise of God is that He will satisfy every desire, every sense of destiny, every sense of purpose that you've ever had with absolutely no effort on your part. In a way that will shock you and surprise you. In a way that will come at you from left field in such a way that there's an exciting surprise about it. Not something that you planned. You really hate it when something you planned comes to pass.
Yeah.
And the reason you hate it is because you know it's going to bore you. If you planned it and it comes to pass, you're going to be bored with it. Sure, sure. Boom. It's guaranteed. Something for someone else to cause you a problem. Is that clear? It's this thing, this evil one, that takes you away. If you walk in the light as He is in the light, then have you fellowship. Otherwise, you're going to seek for justice instead of mercy. You're going to seek for cause and effect instead of grace. Now, this is critical that you understand this, and that you stop seeking it of each other. That you stop seeking after, attempting to communicate with a system that is designed not to communicate. It doesn't have anything to do with what you perceive to be the facts by your senses. Nothing. To live in that universe is to live in Babylon and to be an enemy of God. And the moment you insist on your rights, it is the moment that you've lost the mystery. Now that's what this is about. It's the destruction of Babylon, which at the core level is the destruction of your right to yourself. Christ cannot coexist with your right to yourself. You understand that? Something has to give. But he will not violate your will. You can walk insisting on your right to yourself, and you will die alone. It'll be as though you never existed. Or you can surrender your significance, because maybe you're different. Maybe you've been able to communicate with somebody else.
Just negotiating or trying to talk through it or doing.
Oh, I love negotiating. I love to negotiate. Oh. I don't know why anybody ever wants me to talk to them. Do you realize how many times, like a week, how many times in 10 years, Harry has come up to me and said, that little bitch, I can't live with her anymore. She's purposely mad at me. She's purposely discarding me. She's purposely...
And I'm talking about power.
Barbara is his worst nightmare. She won't let him get by with Jack, or Rex, or anybody else. Let's study and let's celebrate the destruction of this cause and effect and reward and punishment. I don't know about you, I do not want to be judged by my life. I don't want to be judged by my life today. That's all the crap I did in my whole life. And if I expect you to meet a standard, then I, by definition, am putting myself under that standard. Okay.
It just struck me when you said, I don't want to be judged by my life today. And I thought, I don't want to be judged by my life in the last hour. And suddenly I realized the thing about silence in the temple for a half hour. If I could just 10 minutes, stop it for 30 minutes.
All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Why is it called fornication? Why is it called fucking?
Oops.
What? What?
We had a perfect tape.
Well, that's a good tape.
Yeah.
I think we should go back to signing.
We broke our plan. Signing?
Listen. It's fornicating because you're getting internalized pleasure based on something other than God. In other words, you play this mental game. You understand that? All nations have drunk of the wine of her fornication. Now, this is universal. This isn't some theory. But the problem is, people don't think there's any other way of living. How can you possibly live without thinking? How can you possibly... I promise you, you can't think about... If you're the subject, you cannot think about yourself unless it's cause and effect. It's impossible. You can think about winning the lottery, but that's cause and effect. If I buy the right ticket, I'll win the lottery. It's luck, it's the cause and effect. You can't think about yourself without that. That's the law, that's the luck, that's the deception. All nations have drunk of the wrath of the wine of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. The only way a merchant is rich is because he can convince you you need something. You can't be content in the state you're in. You need something. If I have, and I promise you, you'll never, ever, ever need something unless you think that to get that thing will make you a better person, or you'll be in a better position, or a better lot, or more, whatever. Otherwise, by definition, you would never get anything. You understand? Now, what happens? Christ comes along, he says, be content in whatsoever state you find yourself. Paul says, I have learned to be content in whatever state I am. I've learned to abound, I've learned to be abased, in whatever state I am, therewith I've learned to be content. Do you understand how different? What would advertising be if that were the hallmark of our life? What would the merchants of the earth do if we were in that position? It's impossible. You can't live. They couldn't exist. Oh, I need this, I need that. Oh, if I have this, then I need to get that, then I need to get that. And if I get that, and you're so stupid that you have never, ever got any satisfaction from it, but you're so stupid to think that this next thing is going to bring me the satisfaction. I need this next thing. Then I'll have peace. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Leave that system. Come out of her. You don't need to play that game anymore. Come out. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. And the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, and that one day death of Babylon happened on Pentecost. In one day death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for as strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Well, it doesn't look like anything has happened. Doesn't look like it's on fire. All the world is continuing to chase after her. It looks just like everything else does. Now, not if you have eyes to see. If you have eyes to see, you look and you see the world is on fire. There's nothing attractive there. There aren't even any attractive movies or plays or books. There's nothing attractive because it's all on fire. It's all the same. There's nothing new under the sun. It's all the same.
What does it mean in verse 5?
What do you mean?
What does it mean? It says her sins have reached unto heaven.
God saw it, said enough, he destroyed it. Do you think it's possible that 2,000 years ago all this was destroyed? Could that be? Could it be that the whole human race has been walking in deception for 2,000 years? We've had more advancements in 2,000 years than we ever had in history. Allegedly. It's gone. It's meaningless. There's no there there. Oh, I know what let's do. Let's elect a bunch of right-wing Christians to the government. Then we'll be happy. Oh, I know. Let's, now, whatever your particular bent is. It's done. It's over. It's finished. The world's on fire. forthwith shall her plagues come. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet, all thine wood, all manner of vessels of ivory, all manner of vessels of most precious wood, of brass and iron, marble and cinnamon and odors, and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and the souls of men. That's what they've been trading in. Fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. And the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Now, you got to hear me. Of all books, the whole Bible, but especially Revelation, you can't understand Revelation except that you are in the perspective of the one who wrote it. And the one who wrote it is looking from the top down, not from the bottom up or the bottom sideways. He's looking from eternity and seeing this whole panorama happen. And he looks and he sees in one day, in 1 hour, the Feast of Pentecost, Babylon, the entire cause and effect structure of the whole earth is destroyed. The little ants down there and the little players in the movie think it's still going on. But it's over. And your goal, the goal of life, is to have the perspective to finally look from the top down instead of the bottom up. That's what it means to be transfigured by the renewing of your mind.
Couple times when I felt that way, you were riding on top of a wave, you know, and you just, and you have a sense of removal or something from everything that's going on. You just can see it and know that you're not really.
You're in it, but not of it.
Yeah.
And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches has come to nothing. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were all made rich by, and all that had ships of the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour she made desolate. Yeah, no, stop. Look. Look at it. Look at life from no time for a minute. And you say, well, I've never seen anybody. I've never seen all these guys standing around at the same time going, alas, alas. Pull yourself out of time. Every man that has ever lived, because over and over 1,000 times you have gone, alas, alas, what's wrong? Everything is wrong. He's put 1,000 obstacles in your way, and you went, alas, alas, what's wrong? You may not have said, alas, alas. This is Harry. Harry said, alas, but I said, oh, shit.
Harry said, alas.
Alas. Anyway, you understand? God sees it. All men are saying that you've said it a jillion times.
I used to think about that a lot, about how the scriptures, you know, how these guys that read it, you know, 1,500, 2,000 years ago, you know, they were dealing in sheep and camels or whatever, you know. And I thought, well, that's not the same as today, but it is.
Same thing.
Doesn't matter if it's an old deal or a new car, you know. If it's something outside yourself, it's
cause
you
and
have
effect.
To have.
Or Zima.
Zima Gold.
How is he talking about now?
Another new needless product.
It's just a sign that the world truly is on fire.
Zima.
It's clear beer.
Now they have a gold version.
It's not
just a dark version of the original.
For in 1 hour she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. What that means is the reason time and space exist is for them, not for us, not for them. It doesn't matter. The mighty angel. Okay, now we're coming to the good stuff.
Was that verse 20?
What?
What you just said, that's verse 20?
Yeah. And the mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians,
they're all on the block.
The voice of pipers and trumpeteers shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. The sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. If that doesn't scare the crap out of you, I don't know what will. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations or people deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. That's what happened in the Feast of Pentecost. Babylon was destroyed. Cause and effect was destroyed. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants and her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke grows up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And the voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both great and small. And I heard, as it were, you understand, all things in the scripture, whether you understand them or not, follow the 3 pilgrimage feasts, Passover, and Pentecost, and Tabernacles. So, I'll show you later in Revelation what corresponds to Passover. But 17 and 18 correspond to Pentecost. 19 on corresponds to Tabernacles. Now listen. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude and the voice of many waters and the voice of mighty thundering saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I can't read that without remembering that stuff we did.
Yeah.
I didn't have trumpet. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Coolest thing ever written.
Oh, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah.
Okay, good.
That's great.
Paul is giving us a sneer.
Well, there's no tuba in that arrangement.
Oh, wait a minute. I just got to read it a little bit. We got to quit. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. How? She's made herself ready by putting off cause and effect and putting off the need for her own righteousness. And her own desire to be right is gone forever. She put on the righteousness of him only. Cause and effect are gone, and our need to be right is gone. And then there can be fellowship. then there can be communication. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God for the testimony of Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And everything in this book is simply words about the Word of God. And everything in life that you can perceive is a parable about the Word of God and His bride. That's all that exists in time and space. Nothing else is here. The bride hath made herself ready, for she's thrown off forever, cause and effect, and she's left behind her forever the need to be right. Can you hear me? A little bit.